You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Usual co-host Pat Traina is unable to join us today, buried in writing for some of the many publications that she writes for. So I will be going solo today, sort of. A little bit later on, I will be joined by quarterback guru Mark Schofield to break down Eli Manning and the Giants' struggling offense. Obviously, Eli Manning and the check down conundrum has been a topic of discussion lately with the Giants. The high volume of short passes that the Giants have been throwing as they continue to struggle to put up enough points. So Mark will join us to break that down. Just a couple of notes before we get to Mark. Giants held their first practice of the week on Wednesday, and Coach Pat Shurmur hinted at some good news. Looks like Olivier Vernon is headed toward making his season debut on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Vernon, of course, has not played all season due to the high ankle sprain he suffered during a preseason practice. The Giants could also get Eli Apple, who's missed two games with a groin injury, back. So good news, for the Giants defense. As they head into a game, that they really desperately need to win in order to have any chance of really having a successful, winning 2018 season. Obviously, at 1-3, things haven't gone the way that the Giants would like. Pat Shurmur said on Wednesday, he said there are no tomorrows for the Giants, really. As they look toward Sunday's game, the Giants face the Panthers on Sunday. They face the Eagles next Thursday. So a pair of really difficult games coming up for the Giants. And, you're staring at games in which they'll be the underdog. You're staring at the possibility of a 1-5 start. Obviously not the way the Giants drew it up. Not the way that anyone hoped the season would go. Yeah, but the reality is, they are what they are. They were 3-13 a season ago. They've had, I believe, five losing seasons, or at least, five seasons without making the playoffs in the last 6 years. You begin to wonder at this point if we were all too optimistic about what the Giants might be in 2018. The reality of it is that the situation the Giants are in is one that it took several years of mistaken, mistakes in the draft, mistakes in personnel, several years of losing is very, very difficult to overcome, in one off season. The reality of it is that this may take some time for the Giants to get out of this situation. And, we may all have to have some patience as Dave Gettleman and as Pat Shurmur try to fix the mess that the Giants have gotten themselves into. Anyway, Giants fans, let's do this. Let's take a quick early break in our show here for a word from our sponsors. And when we come back, you'll hear my interview with Mark Schofield.
Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. On Wednesday, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, the great Mike Sando of ESPN joins the show. And on Fridays, get Matt's picks for the weekend games. Giants fans, let's talk about advice. Patty and I are always being asked for it, but one thing we can't do is tell you who is going to win or lose the games. If you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. MyBookie has been in business for years, has great online reviews, and offers an easy-to-use mobile site. You win, MyBookie pays. It's that simple. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and MyBookie will give you an extra $25 free play on deposits of more than $100. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this special offer for our listeners. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, Giants fans, we are joined now by Mark Schofield of Locked On Patriots, Inside the Pylon, Pro Football Weekly, and my favorite website of all, Big Blue View. Mark, how you doing tonight?
Ed, I am doing well. I know we both want to kind of get back and watch a little bit of playoff baseball, but I think we're also excited to talk a little bit about Eli Manning here.
Yes, we are. As we record this, Giants fans, we are taking a break from watching my New York Yankees, get beat up on the Oakland A's and get ready to face Mark's Red Sox. So,
there we go. Nothing like our little Sox Yankees right, playoff so, series.
So for tonight, we'll be friends.
There we go. I like it. Right. I like it.
So Mark, we need to talk about Eli Manning, and you have become in your work for Big Blue View, you're sort of becoming the Eli Manning expert at Big Blue View. You're the guy that I turn to for all of my quarterback stuff. You did a piece on Wednesday on Eli, and I mean the big thing that everybody's talking about with Eli Manning right now is the lack of downfield throws. And I think to summarize it, I think we see some of that on Eli and some of that by design. But, when you watch a Giants offense, are you concerned, about what you see?
I think concerned is probably where I'm at with it right now. I think it's a dual concern at this point, Ed. I think there's concern that he's not taking some chances downfield, and I think some of that you can put on the quarterback. And I do think that there does seem to be a sort of institutional sort of training wheels aspect to the Giants offense right now, whether it's they don't want him to turn the ball over. They've instilled in him, whether this regime or it's a previous regime, has instilled in him sort of a fear of making mistakes, a fear of turning the football over, or whether it's more truly of a schematic element. And you and I talked about this a little bit, where there are some offensive systems. For example, back when Teddy Bridgewater was at Louisville, they had a low to high read structure to their offense, which basically meant you were looking at the shallow routes first, and if they were open, you threw them. You get to the deeper routes later in the progression. Now, that's not all offensive systems do that. The system that I ran in college, it was a high to low progression read system where you look at the deep shots first. If they're open, you take them. Then you come down to your checkdowns. So there are offensive systems where it's either high to low or low to high. And this might be one of those low to high systems where the coaching staff wants Eli to read those shorter routes first. And if they're there, take them. And then go to the stuff downfield. And so there are times when you see Manning make quick throws underneath where it's either by design or you could say, that's how he's reading this play, even though we do see routes breaking downfield. And I know, this has been a huge point of contention around the Giants. I know you and others have been asking Eli about this, and it does seem like there is an element to this offense right now that is ultra conservative. And sort of the issue I have with that is you need to take chances. You need to challenge those windows. You look at this game against the Saints, and they were playing so much cover two, they were calling plays designed to beat that coverage, to make those throws to the outside, to the boundary and downfield. And opportunities were there, and he just wasn't taking them. And so it just seems like there's an ultra-conservative aspect to this offense that may in part be due to coaching and may in part be due to a quarterback and a reluctance to take those chances.
I think, Mark, in a previous piece that you did for us, you used the term screenshot scouting. And it's kind of a dangerous thing because, you know, we can all look at a screenshot or look at a quick shot of an All-22 and say, oh, well, you know, to our eyes, you know, this guy was open and that guy was open. But we don't know the progression of the play. We don't know, as you said, you know, is the quarterback being asked to read low to high, high to low? Is he being asked to read half the field? You know, is he being asked to progress through the entire field? You know, so it could be, it's a little bit of a combination of both, but it's not as simple as, you know, Eli is refusing to throw the football down the field.
Right. No, it's not. And, you know, one of the tougher things about sort of evaluating quarterback play, you know, even if you're getting the chance to talk to these guys and sit down with them, is you don't have the play calls. You don't have the playbook in front of you. I mean, we get access sort of on the dark football web to playbooks, but we're still working off stuff that's, you know, at best 5 or 6 years old. And so we're still trying to piece it together from the outside looking in. And just because something says something in a playbook doesn't mean that that's how they're coached up to do it, because stuff can change from week to week, year to year, game to game, drive to drive. And so we'll never get a full sense of, okay, this is what a play looked like. You snap your screenshot of it, you throw it out there on Twitter, and you say, look at these guys that are open. Why is he throwing them? Now, that being said, there are some route designs where you can see that, look, if this is the read structure, if this is how he's going to be reading it, you can see these are supposed to break open. For example, that shallow route he threw to Beckham on that 3rd and 11 that ended up going for a loss of 8 yards. It's a Mills, an NCAA Mills concept where you have the shallow route, the dig route, and the post route. And that post route versus a cover two look with two high safeties, that post is supposed to split those safeties. It's a risky throw, sure, but on 3rd and 11, with those two safeties, you might want to throw that instead of, you know, a 2 yard shallow route with 8 defenders deeper than Beckham at that point. And so, you know, I try not to do that screenshot scouting type stuff because it's easy to like grab a frame at an instant and say, look at these guys that are open. But sometimes when you see a route progression and a play design, and you know, on various, you know, offenses and various systems, whether it's Spurrier, whether it's Josh McDaniels, whether it's anybody, you call that play, you see cut two, you want to try to hit that post route if you can. And so, you know, that's kind of some of my takeaways from watching Manning, is that, you know, you can't put all of this on him. There have been checkdowns and short throws that I've completely agreed with, and I've written about that. But there were times when I think he left some opportunities on the field.
Mark, one of the things that I have said is that, you know, back in the day when Eli was coached by Tom Coughlin and had Kevin Gilbride as his offensive coordinator, I thought that, you know, Eli made his living at that point using play action, throwing the ball down the field. I mean, if you look at his career numbers, you know, his interceptions were higher at that point in his career, you know, but also, you know, so were his yards per completion, so was his touchdown percentage. That seems to have been going down over the last couple of years. And what I'm wondering is if in the Gilbride offense, you know, that Giants fans used to complain vociferously about, if they were willing to accept that risk, if they were willing to say, you know, Eli, go ahead and throw that ball down the field, you know, and give, you know, Victor Cruz a chance to make a play deep down the field. You know, we'll take the risk if something bad happens, because something really good might happen. And I'm wondering if the difference in Eli isn't physical as much as it is having been coached by Ben McAdoo to, you know, to look for completions first, you know, for 4 years, and now being coached by Pat Shurmur, you know, to look for completions first.
You know, Ed, it's a great point, and there might be some of that at work here. And, you know, that's why I sort of made the reference to, you know, previous regimes and stuff, because it does seem like, you know, you look back at, say, you know, the 2011, 12, 13 Giants, you know, they were throwing it downfield. And I even, you know, pulled up a tweet from Pro Football Focus back in the day that, you know, Manning was leading the league in sort of yards in the air in terms of like throwing it, you know, and the distance on the throws accounted for, you know, the completion percentage and the yardage on plays, because he was pushing it downfield. But then with the McAdoo offense, like you said, there was that reliance and stress on shorter throws, completed passes, and, you know, taking safer options in the passing game. And that seems to have been worked into this offense and conveyed into this offensive system as well, where they would rather, you know, take your 3 yard out and hope it turns into something after the catch than take a, you know, deeper shot downfield that may or may not be open. And I can understand that some sense, you know, an offensive philosophy that might be built around that. But you have to work your system in concert with the talent that you have. And you look at this Giants roster and you have some vertical threats. You have some guys that can stretch the field, obviously, starting with Odell Beckham. And it just seems like trying to turn the players that they have into a more ball control, completion percentage driven offense, first of all, it doesn't seem to suit the talent that they have. And as we can see through, you know, just the first 4 weeks of the season, it doesn't seem to be translated into results on the field.
No, it's definitely not. And I wonder if what might happen with this Giants offense, I wonder if they're sort of trying to protect Eli, you know, by throwing the short route, by getting the ball out of his hands. Because you wonder, you know, people wonder if Eli's taking too many hits, if he's kind of looking at the pass rush sometimes. And we know the Giants offensive line is new. It's a work in progress. You wonder if perhaps what they're trying to do is protect that offensive line a little bit.
There, Ed, you know, that's a great point, and there could be some of that. I mean, that's something similar to what we're seeing in Indianapolis right now. I mean, obviously Frank Reich, you know, more of a West Coast, even sort of air raid type offensive philosophy, you know, coming from the Philadelphia Eagles. But you look at, you know, for the first 3 weeks, that Colts offense, they were primarily a 5 yard or so offense in the passing game because they were trying to protect Luck. Offensive line is banged up, so this is the best way to protect their quarterback, get the ball into his hands and out of it as quickly as you can. And that may be at work here too. You know, the offensive line has had its issues. There have been protection problems. Eli was taking a lot of hits weeks one and weeks two, and those sacks start to mount up. And when you're talking about protecting a quarterback that's into his upper 30s, you know, it becomes more of an issue that you want to protect him because, you know, one hit could certainly change things, you know, and then you're looking at a Kyle Lauletta coming into the game or an Alex Tanny coming into the game. And so there might be that element to it as well. The issue is, though, you still have to have those, you know, those shot plays or those couple of times a game where you take those throws downfield, where you take those shots, because otherwise you're just going to see a lot of sort of, you know, soft cover two, and they're going to sort of rally to the ball. You know, if you're going to throw the 3 yard out, fine. We've now got eight guys downfield of that route to flow and rally and make tackles and limit yardage after the catch. And so, you know, they're going to have to find that right balance of, you know, making enough throws downfield to sort of keep defenses honest if they're going to insist on the short, quick passing game as a way to protect their quarterback.
Mark, let me ask you one last thing about Eli, you know, before I let you go, and we both get back to watching the Yankees. So when you look at Eli, you know, you've been studying Eli a lot for us now, you know, since the preseason. Do you physically still see a quarterback who can make the throws? We're not talking about his decision-making now. You know, we're talking about physically, you know, can he make the necessary throws, you know, still at 37 years of age?
You know, Ed, coming into this season, I was firmly in the camp like, yes, he still can make these throws. And, you know, I did that piece, you know, six throws or five throws that should make you still believe in Eli. And I had a couple of throws into this sort of turkey hole area that we've been talking about in these cover two coverages. Seeing the start of this season, seeing some of the throws he missed on this, you know, Saints game that I started this piece with, where they had Odell schemed open, there was minimal pressure in his face, if any, and he was still missing them. I'm starting to move off of that position. I'm not fully away from the idea that, you know, Eli can make these throws, but I'm much less confident in him than I was when this season started. You know, he still has velocity. He can still place the ball where it needs to be, but it's with less consistency. And we see some of these misses that I started that piece with that he's had in that Saints game. And it does make you wonder if, on top of everything else, we're seeing sort of a diminishing skill set just added to the list of problems with this Giants offense.
Oh, Mark, that we don't need. As you know, Giants fans don't need to hear that. And I know.
I wish I had better news for you guys. Believe me, I do. I would love. Look, I mean, you know, we were talking before we hit record. Some of the work I do at Pro Football Weekly is, you know, charted and doing the same stuff for Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, he just got out of a week where he threw 6 touchdown passes. And, you know, I try to write this piece. I title it basically The Era of Unbridled Optimism. And even Bears fans are like, no, the guy's still bad. And so I wish I could come with better news. But, you know, quarterbacks, it's one of those positions where, you know, even if it's going great, people are still going to find problems with your game. And so, you know, with Manning, I hope that they can strike the right balance between scheme and risk and managing it and still taking chances. You know, you look at some of the throws he was making even last year and at times this year, he still has it in him. It's just a matter of putting it all together. It can happen. I'm just less confident in it happening than I was when the season started.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with me. And, you know, we'll be looking forward to your next piece on Big Blue View. And, you know, folks, make sure you check out Mark at Mark Schofield on Twitter. Find his work at Pro Football Weekly, at Big Blue View, at Inside the Pylon, and of course, you know, listen to Mark on Locked On Patriots.
Ed, thank you so much for having me on. Have a great night. Enjoy the rest of this Yankees game.
Take care.
You too, sir.
Giants fans, if you have children or a job that requires you to dress well on a daily basis, you know that it's crazy how much money it costs you for new brand name clothing. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store, can help you. Swap is a great place to discover incredible discounts on gently worn clothing. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on brands like Lululemon, Carter's, J. Crew, Nike, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added to Swap daily, and if something you order doesn't fit, you can return it with no hassle within 30 days. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to try Swap today and get 30% off your first order.
Hey, Giants Nation. Need a little extra swag for game day? Loci has got your back with their brand new game day collection. If you haven't heard this name before, well, let me tell you about Loci. Their high-quality bracelets come with an amazing message and support incredible causes. The Loci bracelet comes in Giants colors and holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. It's a daily reminder to keep balance in life between the highs and the lows. Since Loci is friends of the Locked On Giants podcast, they are offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all game day collection bracelets. Visit loci.com. That's LOKAI.com. And use the promo code Giants25 to take advantage of this amazing deal.
All right, Giants fans, that was the fantastic Mark Schofield with his views of Eli Manning's play and the Giants offense. Pretty much confirms, you know, much of what Patty and I have talked about quite a bit here at Locked On Giants, that there is a mixture of reasons, you know, for the failings of the Giants offense so far, you know, for all of the short throws that you've seen. You know, some of it obviously is Eli, you know, checking the ball down. Some of it is the way that the Giants are running offense, where they might be looking for the short pass first before they look down the field. You know, some of it simply might be down in distance. So, and some of it might be, you know, the Giants simply protecting their offensive line at this point in time as that unit grows and improves and hopefully, you know, eventually continues to get better and give Eli Manning, you know, more time to throw the football. So a mixture of reasons, you know, and Mark also admitted that there is the possibility, you know, with some of the throws that Manning has missed so far this year, there is the possibility that at 37 years of age, you know, perhaps his physical skills and his consistency,
You know, it is declining just a little bit. We saw against Houston, and we saw, you know, even Sunday against New Orleans, in my view, that he can still make throws. He can still, you know, do things in the passing game, get the ball down the field. The question is, you know, as he ages at this point, is he going to be able to do them all the time? And perhaps not. That is maybe why, you know, some of the passing game is designed to be shorter, to be designed as catch and run. You know, maybe Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula are assessing Eli's physical skills at this point in time and thinking this is the way that the Giants need to play offense. The reality of it is whether they throw the ball down the field, whether they throw short passes, medium passes, deeper passes, they need to find ways to get more big plays. They need to find ways to score more points if they're going to be successful. Just wanted to once again thank Mark Schofield. You know, make sure that you guys, you know, read his work at Big Blue View, where he writes once a week for us, Pro Football Weekly, you know, where he covers Mitchell Trubisky inside the pylon, and also at Locked On Patriots, where he talks about New England. So, Giants fans, please also remember, you know, check out Patty's work. You can find her mostly at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. Follow my work at Big Blue View and at Valentine_Ed. You can follow Locked On Giants at Locked On_Giants. And you can email us questions at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. And we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.